Growing up along Route 66 wasn't all kicks, but it was the road that made me, part one. On warm nights, with my bedroom window open, I could hear the endless stream of vehicles on Route 66. We lived in a small house at the east edge of Baxter Springs, and across the street from my window was a pasture, and on nights when there wasn't any wind, the sound of escape, the rushing of tires, the shifting of gears, the bellowing exhaust of trucks hauling goods to Oklahoma or Missouri, swept across the field with the night breeze. It seemed as if I were trapped on an island in a stream of commerce, adventure and danger, that was Route 66. I was filled with anxiety. I both longed for and feared the day that I too would be swept along to an unknown shore in the unfolding of time. Interstate 44 had bypassed the town years before, leaving Baxter as a backwater. But if you were bound for where the sun rises or where it sets, the only way out of town was 66. This year is the centennial of Route 66, and I've been thinking of the highway, which already seemed ancient when I was growing up, and how it shaped me. Described as, quote, an agent of social transformation by the National Park Service, the 2,400-mile-long route began in Chicago and ended at the Santa Monica Pier. The highway crosses just 13 miles of Kansas, cutting across the extreme southeastern corner of the state on its way from Missouri to Oklahoma. Just three Kansas towns were on the route: Galena, Riverton, and Baxter Springs. The Kansas section of Route 66 is less than 1% of its total length, but to my childhood self it represented the whole world. By the time I was in junior high, I had walked or biked most of it with my friends. There wasn't a spot along the route that didn't figure in our family history. My grandfathers had witnessed the zinc mining riots of 1935. 3 decades later, my father picked up a hitchhiker east of Baxter and was carjacked at gunpoint for his trouble. The main street, Military Avenue, was 66, and my mother drove it in an old blue early 60s Thunderbird. Think Thelma and Louise, before the cars were considered cool again. If you've heard 66 called the Mother Road, it's because that's what John Steinbeck called it in The Grapes of Wrath. 66 is the path of a people in flight, Steinbeck wrote, refugees from dust and shrinking land, from the thunder of tractors and shrinking ownership, from the desert's slow northward invasion, from the twisting winds that howl up out of Texas, from the floods that bring no richness to the land and steal what little richness there is. 66 is the Mother Road, the road of flight. There will be countless celebrations this year across the remnants of Route 66 in places like Winslow, Arizona, and Shamrock, Texas. Route 66 was an icon even while I was growing up, thanks to a catchy song by Bobby Troup and a 1960s television adventure drama starring Martin Milner and George Maharis and a Corvette Stingray. When I ran away from home as a junior in high school, the wheels of my souped-up Ford followed Route 66 into Oklahoma and beyond. I wasn't thinking of history. I was more interested in the girl in the passenger seat of the Mustang. But later I came to appreciate 66 as the great route followed by an exodus of Okies escaping the Dust Bowl. For me, as it was for them, Route 66 was the road of flight. I'm Max McCoy for High Plains Public Radio's Radio Readers Book Club. This has been a condensed version of one of my weekly columns for the Kansas Reflector.